Welcome to Harlow on Healthcare. I'm David Harlow, and I invite you to join me by my virtual hearth as I sit down with health leaders to discuss building the future of healthcare. Today, my guest is Amy Brown, Vice President of Health Intelligence and Analytics at Springbuck. Welcome, Amy, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
My understanding of Springbuck and your definition of health intelligence is essentially an employer-focused health analytics solution that allows your customers to keep tabs on data about their populations of employees and dependents, allowing for some real-time interventions for folks who aren't as adherent as we might like them to be. Is that a pretty good summary? Did I do a good job of giving a thumbnail sketch there? And as you pass judgment on that, maybe tell us, when you say health intelligence, what do you really mean?
Absolutely. I think that was a great stab at it. I'll start there. Springbuck is a health intelligence platform, and we differentiate by using that term to really focus on the fact that we are focused on helping our customers, which are largely employers or those that act on behalf of employers, which are benefit consultants.
Right.
Sometimes on-site clinics, sometimes a wellness vendor, to really understand what's driving their costs and what they can actually do about it. And the intelligence aspect of it is the fact that we really focus on what's actionable, and we incorporate elements of curation and distillation in terms of what we're providing to our customers. So that way they don't have to do all the legwork and do all that digging in the data, which is historically what analytics has provided in our industry. A lot of really interesting dashboards and pictures, but oftentimes there's that analysis paralysis, that what do I do with all this information? It's really cool, but in the end, what can I act upon? So that's what intelligence is really reflecting, the idea that we're doing a lot of that legwork for our customers, knowing they have limited time and resources, and really want to help their employees live their best lives and their dependents, of course, to really, you know, help them live their, be healthy, be happy, and to prevent disease with data, which is sort of the North Star of what Springbuck is all about. That's what drives everything we do. So some of what we're doing is exactly what you were talking about, identifying gaps in care, understanding what diseases are driving costs. But we don't stop there. We also look at things like building data science-driven predictive models so we can figure out who are the people that are likely to have a diagnosis of diabetes or a thyroid disorder but don't know it? And can we get them in sooner to get tested so they don't have those negative complications down the road for those conditions? So what we're really trying to do is think creatively and really use modern technology in a very intuitive and user-friendly interface, which a lot of others in our space are not necessarily geared towards, to really make it an intuitive sort of hub that everybody can look at and understand to really act and solve these problems.
So I'm wondering, just to probe a little deeper, whether you could give other sort of concrete examples about what you're doing differently, what you're doing to advance the idea of health analytics as opposed to health information. And frankly, as part of a cadre of health IT and population health geeks, we're all looking for a holy grail, right? What does Springbuck Health Intelligence Platform do to mobilize data to prevent disease?
Sure. Insights is one of our health intelligence products. And just to kind of give you a bit more of a concrete example, we have a lot of internal experts at Springbuck that have worked in the industry for a while. And we've worked with a lot of employers to kind of cull together what are the core areas that are the biggest ones for opportunities, whether it's things like potential drug savings opportunities where members might be taking a more expensive drug and there's a generic alternative, looking at people that are at risk for a future surgery that's preference sensitive, where, you know, they may not even need it, or there may be alternatives they're unaware of, or people that are going to the ER when it may not be necessary and don't realize there's a clinic around the corner. What we do with our Insights product is basically have all these complex algorithms that we run in the back end. So we have our Springbuck data geeks that do that, right, and define all those things. We have a methods team that focuses on making sure those things are really robust. And ultimately, where the customer lands is when they log into Insights each month after a data update, or more frequently, if our customers can provide it to us, they can immediately see, okay, what are the biggest potential opportunities? It's basically a launch pad for action. So they'll see insight cards, and each card will say, wow, you have $100,000 in opportunities because people are going to the wrong site of service. They're going to the ER instead of an outpatient facility for these types of things. Or these are people that are likely to have a surgery. If you target them now, you may be able to educate them so they can make an informed decision. These are people you could reach out to, you know, to make smart decisions about their drugs. And we are not touching members directly. I want to make sure that's clear. But we do have relationships with vendors that do touch the members and that can work on the behalf of employers that are implementing programs. So what Insights really allows you to do is log in. You can easily see what those opportunities are. And we have a lot of really robust features within Springbok where you can create focus populations and understand the patterns within the data far faster than what we've seen in more classic analytics platforms. So we can, you can see the sort of the Venn diagram and see, okay, the people that have mental health and a chronic condition are also in the ones that are ending up in the ER for a chronic flare-up visit. And then all of a sudden you start to discover the story behind why things are happening. And then you can make really smart decisions about how to solve that problem. Typically what we find for customers is they come in having worked with analytics vendors and they're at a loss to really understand the story that's driving their data. Does that help?
Yeah, we were all stories. There were a series of stories. And I'm wondering if you could give an example of a particular type of other vendor that an employer might contract with or service provider that would lead to a direct touch to a patient, given the analytics or intelligence that you described.
Sure. I can think of a couple right off the bat. So one sort of interesting one that we discovered was we had a very healthy younger population, and we were discovering that on the Insights page, that particular client had a lot of members, despite being younger without, you know, any obvious reasons for it, with a lot of osteoarthritis and sort of joint issues. So we dug a little deeper through Insights, and what we were actually able to discover was that it seemed like there were a lot of runners that were actually injuring themselves because they were running marathons. And we were able to figure that out based on Insights. And so based on that, we actually reached out to the customer. We didn't know they were running marathons until we reached out to the customer. We said, you know, we're suspicious. This seems odd. Do you happen to have a lot of runners? And they said, actually, it's really funny you say that. Our founder, you know, is a huge marathon runner. And we have a huge contingency at the office, and there are a lot of injuries because of that. So that was one particular example where we said, oh, wow, you know, this might be an opportunity for you to bring someone on site at the office. And that person can help people, like whether it's a physical therapist or another type of resource. For that particular company, it made sense to invest in that type of resource because they would really benefit from managing those injuries before they became more severe and required an extensive surgery. And it, of course, helped to benefit the employee as well. So that's sort of a more interesting and sort of unique one. A lot of times what we see, we have a lot of clients that also have on-site clinic resources. And so a lot of times Springbok can help connect the dots there so they can get the members in to get the tests they need. So our predictive models actually identify through an Insight card members that are likely to have a diagnosis of thyroid disease but have not been identified yet through the claims data. And that's really, really important because thyroid disease is severely underdiagnosed in this country. And so a large number of people have that condition. Up to 60% of those with thyroid disease are unaware they have it. So our model helps to try and bring those members up in the radar. And so a lot of times when an employer has an on-site clinic resource, when that member comes in, if they can see in that record that this person's been flagged as at risk for that, it's a simple addition to a blood test. And then that individual can get tested for that and identified sooner, which is really, really important because undiagnosed thyroid disease can actually put people at risk for infertility, osteoporosis, heart conditions. So that's another example where our data science-driven models can actually really bridge the gap and help members to get identified sooner.
Okay. Two very interesting examples. I'm wondering with the second one, whether that kind of intelligence can be pushed to providers outside of a worksite clinic environment, limited because of the relationship you have with the employer.
There are endless possibilities, I'll put it that way. Of course, we're always acting on behalf of the employer in order to serve the interests of their members. So we're certainly open to possibilities there based on the specific situation.
Okay. And the Runner's Clinic seems to be like a classic, well thought out case of wellness service, so to speak, where often the wellness services seem to be more about retaining or attracting employees rather than actually delivering useful care or services. And I'm wondering if you see a theme there, if you see other kinds of services where that we might think of as being quote unquote wellness, but are really trending more towards health maintenance or health improvement that are enabled by the insights that you're able to identify.
Sure. I think one of the things that Insights does really well is it really helps to match the type of intervention that would be of greatest value. Because a lot of times today, employers are just kind of throwing darts at a wall and hoping they're picking the right one based on what's most popular. So I think one area that is a more popular trend right now, but we are seeing it to be quite beneficial to a lot of our employers, is mental health, different types of mental health programs. That's not necessarily obviously something that would be on site, but it's a service that a lot of times employers can offer in different forms. There's a lot of great innovation happening right now in terms of different types of solutions that an employer could offer, whether it's like a video chat with a licensed social worker or therapist. What we're seeing, especially with a lot of growth in tech companies and the younger generation, is that there's a lot, even though those individuals tend to be, of course, because they're younger, they don't have as much chronic conditions. There's a lot of mental health and anxiety and depression and stuff that goes with that. So I think that's one area that is really important, not only because mental health is important in general, but because what we found in our data is that a lot of times members that have mental health issues end up having medical issues as well. Because, you know, the body is all one system. So you see stomach issues, you see skin issues, you see heart issues sometimes, and other things that come up as a result of that. So we've also been able to identify opportunities for mental health in terms of targeting the right people. We also have an opioid risk score, a proprietary risk score, where we can identify those people that are at risk for opioid abuse, which is another really important area, of course. It's a huge issue, especially for people that have osteoarthritis. It seems to be growing for that population particularly. So it's really, really important for an employer to do their part in helping to make sure that people are steered towards safe decisions in that vein.
If you're just tuning in, this is Harlow on Healthcare, coming to you on Healthcare Now Radio. I'm David Harlow, and my guest today is Amy Brown at Springbuck. Amy, you've mentioned a couple of times the Health Insight card, and I wonder if you could describe for us, what do we see on that card if we're looking at it, and what does it draw from? How do you build that?
Sure. So we have a lot of subject matter experts at Springbuck that are really trying to help guide our users to understand the importance of the different areas of opportunities within healthcare. Obviously, it's a very complex industry. There's a lot of intricacies. So on each Insight card, what we really try and do is give them all the information they need so they don't have to look anywhere else to understand what the issue is, why it's important, and what they can do to solve that problem. So on each Insight card, there's an overview section where we explain what the opportunity is, how we define it, and what our sources for that. So we have research citations on the card. We also provide a Did You Know Fact, which helps to arm our partners with relevant quotes from respected sources so they can go to their constituents and explain the significance of the issue at hand, whether it's avoidable events or why people with two or more chronic conditions are statistically more likely to end up in the hospital and why it might be really, really important to go after in terms of helping that group to manage their chronic conditions in a more intense way. And then there's a strategy and tool section, which helps our customers to understand if they wanted to solve for this problem today, what are the different pathways they could take? Some employers are much larger and have much more resources and tools at their disposal to solve for these problems. Others might not. So we want to make sure that regardless, there are options available. There are things like benefit design. There are things like potential point solutions. There's a lot of different education campaigns and option grids that can be provided that could help empower the member ultimately to make good decisions. So we provide all that information on the card. And then we also have a history tab where the user can better understand how that's trending over time. So it may be that, avoidable ER rates at a certain point, but at least they've been going down, or maybe it's a real big problem and you can see that it goes up. So that's a really important piece to really understand. Is it something that's escalating or de-escalating? And based on that, that helps make a decision about which potential opportunity should be prioritized first. And then in some cases, because we have built-in predictive models, in some cases we have a tab that focuses on those that are forecasted to have an event. And that's for some of those predictive models that I shared about earlier.
So you make an important point that there's a variety of types and sizes of employers out there. And I'm wondering sort of what's the sweet spot for Springbuck? Is there a particular size or type of employer that could benefit most from your services versus other sorts of approaches?
What we've found most typically is that the mid-market is where we've grown most substantially. We have about 2,000 employers on the platform today. We often grow through channel partners, through benefit consulting firms. So we tend to be, that's where we've been historically, but we've been getting huge interest in the enterprise space at that level as well. And so we're learning more and more that what we're bringing can have applications and great uses at all levels of the market. So I would say mid and up. And it really depends on the specifics, but we find that there's wide appeal to this type of health intelligence approach.
Right. I would say that in this day and age, we're all trying to, quote unquote, fix healthcare. And the question for you is whether you're seeing any improvements in the current year, or do you see improvements in the year ahead in trends in health, improvements, setbacks? Are there any particular trends that you think we should be looking at?
So Springbuck came up with a healthcare trends 2020 report, which I think highlighted some key areas that we've noted, some of which we've talked about to some extent already. Some of the biggest things that we've noticed in our data is that mental health is a big trend right now. So when we looked in our database of over 2 million lives, we found that nearly 1 in 5 members have at least one diagnosed mental health condition. And that's incredibly important, because what we saw was that the average cost of medical and prescription claims per member per month was more than twice that of a member without a mental health condition. So that is a trend that we're seeing that's really important. And we think that if you can approach that problem and try and solve for it by really understanding, again, as we were talking earlier about understanding the individual holistically and how to solve for the issues that they're facing in terms of their mental health as well as their medical issues altogether, it can really help solve that problem and not only drive down costs, but also help that employee live the best life they can live. So I think that's one trend we're seeing. And we're also seeing, unfortunately, a lot of prevalence of chronic conditions. So we saw that almost 50% of members in our database have at least one chronic condition. And we're looking at the commercial population. So these are employees, their dependents, and spouses. So that was surprisingly high, given that.
Right. That's supposed to be the healthy population, right?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And 2 in 3, we also found when we were looking at chronic conditions that 2 in 3 people with mental health issues also suffered from at least one chronic physical condition. So there's a lot of overlap between these groups. And as much as we can try and, as we aim to with the vision of what Springbuck is, prevent disease with data, we're hoping to go upstream with some of our predictive models to figure out who these people are before they end up with these chronic conditions. So that way we can, move the dial back, right? And help those people never get the chronic conditions in the next phase of possibilities.
Right. So that's one way of working all of this. The other way is that's sort of the upstream direction. The downstream direction, so to speak, might be thinking about the types of channel partners you're talking about. Benefits consultants, are you looking at plan design, provider, organization as levers that can be manipulated in order to improve health management? Is that something that you have a view on, or are you agnostic on that?
We work hand in hand with our benefit consultants, and those are often levers that they're trying to understand. How can they incentivize those with chronic conditions to close those gaps in care? That's something that we focus on heavily in Springbuck. We have a whole page that's devoted to members with gaps in care, where you can easily identify who those people are, create focus populations of those individuals, and share that with those, you know, at an on-site clinic or elsewhere that can reach those members so they can get the care they need, get the screening they need, so they can avoid that, you know, catastrophic event down the road. So that's definitely something that benefit consultants have been oriented towards. We've also found that as much as possible, we recommend strategies to sort of remove barriers to actually getting the care. So a lot of times benefit consultants will provide recommendations in collaboration focused on, oh, is there a near site clinic by the office where you can extend hours and allow for, you know, evening appointments or appointments during lunch or before work? So that way you can sort of, as much as possible, eliminate those hurdles that people often face because they can't miss work to get those checks that they need.
Right. So tweaking the network, so to speak, in order to develop better access.
Right. Exactly. As much as we can, we want to try and remove the barriers, whether that's financial or, you know, physically, you know, allowing them to go to make it as convenient as possible.
Have you encountered any issues around sort of access and affordability as driving employees not accessing care? I'm thinking because in recent weeks and months, there's been in the news information about benefit changes around affordability of certain drugs, like insulin, for example. And the goal has been to improve affordability in order to drive adherence with medication regimens. Is that something that you have exposure to in any way, whether it's around medications or around other services?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very important thing. I think one thing that we often discover, a lot of times knowing whether someone can afford a medication is tough, right? But we can identify if there's a medication adherence gap, which is something that we look at in Springbuck. And so if someone has a gap in care based on them not taking a maintenance medication, that's a red flag for us. And we want to make sure we address it. And sometimes it could be financially based. One thing that we've also noticed and that we look for is we're very oriented towards those that are non-utilizers. And a lot of times that can also be a trigger that they may not be able to afford services or that they're hesitant to get services. Sometimes what we find is with high deductible plans, members are hesitant to actually engage with healthcare, even for preventive care, because of the hurdle of that initial out-of-pocket. So that's one thing we discover as well. What we do is we reconcile those non-utilizers with those that might have preventive gaps in care, whether it's those that are not getting checkups or not taking a medication if they ended up having a chronic condition previously, and we've identified that. It definitely can be a challenge because I think that sometimes individuals are not necessarily being given the right incentives to take care of themselves in a preventive manner. And then ultimately down the road, it becomes a harder situation for the individual, but also a harder situation for the system because oftentimes it comes across as something more serious.
Right. Well, one last question for you, Amy, and that's if you were to wake up tomorrow and find yourself 5 years in the future, what's one thing in healthcare that you would hope or expect to find has changed drastically?
Well, that's a really good question. I'm an idealist, so I think there are a lot of things I would hope for. I think my hope is that leaders in our industry will step up and do the right thing to help people that are in vulnerable health situations. I believe that the patient advocate model that is starting to become more pervasive in some places, I hope that it will expand, become more common, and sort of this way that has sometimes been common of accepting the status quo. I'm hoping that will go by the wayside and we'll start challenging the dysfunction that exists in this industry, all the market failures and these walls of information that tend to be up. I hope that some of those can come down. And I hope that in the end, the patients can really better understand what their choices are, what they're paying for services and why, and that people are held accountable in a greater way. So that way people can get the care they need and deserve at a fair price. And everybody is incentivized for the right things.
Great. Well, that is a vision for the future that I could subscribe to. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Harlow on Healthcare. Join us at healthcarenowradio.com. Let's continue the conversation on building the future of healthcare together at #HarlowOnHC. I'm David Harlow, keeping the fire going and holding a seat open for you. Until next time.